on Straight Talk Africa, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA. Its goal is to promote trade between the United States and Africa. The program has been extended for 10 years. But to what extent, observers wonder, is it really making a difference to the people of Africa? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, September 2nd. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the significance of the recent AGOA 2015 forum that just concluded in Libreville, Gabon.
And coming up later in our SCA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on today's topics through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, enacted in May 2000, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, is the cornerstone of U.S. economic engagement with the countries of sub-Saharan Africa. The forum reviewed the strengths and weaknesses of the renewed trade agreement to see how it benefits America and its sub-Saharan trade partners. My colleague Paul Sisco has more on the story.
The U.S. Sub-Saharan African Trade and Cooperation Forum was held last week in Gabon. Back on June 27th, the 10-year AGOA extension was overwhelmingly approved by the U.S. Congress and signed by President Barack Obama. Top U.S. and African government officials, prominent members of the private sector, and leaders of civil society met in Libreville for 4 days discussing U.S.-African trade relations. United States Trade Representative Michael Fromman.
We need to make sure AGOA's potential is fully explored and the benefits fully utilized. And that will require work on both sides of the AGOA equation.
AGOA allows tariff-free access to U.S. markets for some 6,000 different goods. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Can we do better? Yes. There's so much more that can be done in terms of increasing the number of products, increasing the amount of trade between the 39 AGOA-eligible countries and the United States.
Trade Representative Michael Fromman says AGOA is the foundation of U.S.-African trade policy.
The first full year of AGOA to the last, U.S. imports from AGOA countries have grown threefold to more than $26 billion a year. Non-oil imports have increased fourfold.
He also says AGOA has and will continue to support hundreds of thousands of jobs across the continent, adding U.S. exports to Africa have increased from $6 billion to $24 billion. Critics say oil and gas have dominated 90% of AGOA transactions in the last 15 years, with many small businesses missing out. That turns out to be of little benefit to the people of Africa, and there is little in the renewed legislation to change that. Ambassador Greenfield explains the AGOA review process and human rights component of the legislation.
Yes, we are currently reviewing Burundi's eligibility for trade preferences under AGOA. As you know, the AGOA legislation does allow for the U.S. to partially restrict benefits to AGOA-eligible countries related to their performance across a number of criteria related to rule of law and human rights.
The controversial third-term election of President Pierre Nkurunziza, condemned by both the European Union and the United States, could result in the suspension of Burundi's AGOA benefits. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Fred Oradende, chairman of the AGOA Civil Society Working Group, a consortium of non-governmental organizations, business representatives, and other groups in the United States and Africa that are interested in successful application of AGOA. He also serves as the president of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa. Thank you so much for being on the show once again, Fred.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Shaka.
It's been quite some time since we last saw you here.
Yes, and a lot of good things have happened in between.
Well, I hope you share that with us. Rahama Right. Founder and CEO of Shea Yelin Health and Beauty, a social enterprise that includes a non-profit and commercial entity that sells high-quality and refined shea butter products. Ms. Wright also serves as the member of the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa. Well, I have to say, Rahama, for you in particular, since this is the first time, frankly, on the show, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited to have this conversation.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. On a programming note, we're supposed to be joined by Ambassador Michael Froman, the United States Trade Representative, but due to a last-minute scheduling conflict, he was unable to join us. We hope to bring him to you sometime in the near future. Let me come back to you immediately, Fred, especially you, of course, given that you play a very, very huge role, really, in as far as AGOA and civil society relationships are concerned. You just came back from Libreville.
Yes.
What was the experience like?
Very, very interesting. The seriousness that the AGOA-eligible countries showed during the forum is convincing, and also the opportunity to meet with my colleagues from all of the 39 AGOA-eligible countries, civil society leaders, to look at the reauthorized AGOA Extension and Enhancement Act of 2015 and present a recommendation to the ministerial. And we have 7 very strong recommendations that we believe would help, if you may, according to the word of Assistant Secretary Linda Thomas, help us to achieve the potentials of AGOA.
I know that you obviously have been working very, very hard and behind the campaign to renew AGOA. What is your reaction to the fact that it has been extended for another 10 years?
Very satisfying, if you want to ask, because there was, at a point in time, concern that we may not get the reauthorization before the forum in Libreville. And then there was another concern that even if we get the reauthorization, we may not get the 10 years or the long extension that we were asking for. But civil society was able to mobilize with the African ambassadors here and with the private sector and knocked on doors on Capitol Hill. And we got an overwhelming bipartisan support. In fact, if memory serves me right, I think we had 97-1, and one person didn't vote in terms of the reauthorization of AGOA. So that was a very rewarding effort to get AGOA renewed.
AGOA, of course, has been in play for the last 15 years. How different is this extension going to be if you compare and contrast, for example?
You know, this is the first time we've had a 10-year extension. We've never had one like that. And also, we have seen within the AGOA-eligible countries level of participation that with a 10-year reauthorization, we would expect that there would be significant increase in terms of exports from Africa to the United States under AGOA and under the GSP. Now, the most important element, and these are some very, very important supply-side gaps that needs to be addressed. And that's one of the key areas that civil society focused on during our deliberation on Monday and Tuesday before we presented our recommendation to the ministerial. And I'll tell you one thing, Shaka, one of those has to deal with trade facilitation. While we have very, very competitive pricing in Africa, and I'm sure as we progress in the program, we'll be able to see how prices are very, very good in terms of the product and the quality, but when you factor into it the logistics and the transportation, sometimes those competitiveness will disappear.
Very interesting.
So AGOA gives us a tariff advantage, but we need, now with a 10-year extension, civil society needs to work with their government and engage their private sector to address those supply side constraints and make African products more competitive in the United States.
Very interesting. What about you, Rahima? What is your report card when it comes to AGOA so far? I know that you have also somewhat been participating in some of these fora.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm coming from the perspective of a small business owner, utilizing AGOA as a way to bring my products to market. I work in AGOA country. Shea Yolene sources all of our shea from women's cooperatives in northern Ghana. And what we do is we help women take shea seeds and turn them into high-quality products that we bring to the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of similar to what Fred is talking about in terms of the supply side, I couldn't agree more. I would only add that one issue that continues is manufacturing and being able for Africans to take raw material, turn it into value-added products. And so there needs to be more emphasis on supporting Africans' ability to bring higher value products to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
That allows them to be able to get more value for their products. Mm-hmm. It allows them to not only be supplying raw material, which, you know, when you're supplying raw material, there's only so much income you can generate from that. But when you have a finished product that can be brought to the marketplace, it's adding additional value that I think is a missing component.
Why is this not happening, given that, you know, AGOA allows at least about 6,000 different items? And yet, you continue to read, when you do your research, talking to people, that AGOA continues to be dominated by gas and oil.
Yeah.
And perhaps automobile assembling via South Africa.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem is that businesses need to have access to the right technical skills so that they can create these products. In my case, with Shea Yolene, we work with women in rural communities who are isolated from the marketplace to a certain extent, and they need access to production tools, they need access to training, they need to be able to create a high-quality product, and that's not something that you can expect people to do without having access to certain resources. And so another thing I would add is that AGOA is a trade policy, and it's really great at reducing trade barriers, but there it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. We also need to be able to see investments in manufacturing capabilities, investments in providing technical skills and support. We need to be able to give people on the ground access to the tools that they need so that they can create a great product and bring that product to market. And I'd also say that one of the key things is being able to tell Africans that this trade policy is available to them in the countries that, you know, can benefit from AGOA. A lot of times I get emails and calls from people who are like, oh, can you help me use AGOA to get grants?
Mm.
And I think that there needs to be an awareness of what this trade policy actually does. And this is where the African governments can play a huge role in partnership with civil society. African governments are supposed to create their own strategic plans. You know, that's part of being in an AGOA country. And I think that this is where African governments creating strategic plans so that they can further benefit from this trade policy and further benefit from bringing, as you mentioned, more products into the market so it's not so heavily oil and gas. But there's such a variety from textiles to agricultural products, you know, shea butter, coffee, anything that you can think of. But the question becomes, how do we create the right ecosystem so people have access to the right business structures, they have access to the right tools, they have access to the right training so that they can further benefit from this trade agreement.
Very interesting, very interesting. How is shea butter being received in the marketplace so far? I gather that initially it was quite a problem. There are not so many stores, frankly, who could listen to you.
Well, I call myself a 10-year overnight success. It definitely did not happen immediately. It took some time. And one of the things, when I started Shayalene, my objective was to provide access for women to be able to bring products to market. Mm-hmm. And so it required understanding the marketplace, one, figuring out what the gaps were in the market, and then seeing how I could create a market solution that would address those gaps. So there are two things that I was able to do. I was able to see that the marketing of Shea was a marketing of a product that wasn't natural, unrefined Shea. Refined Shea, pardon. Mm-hmm. And the majority of Shea that leaves the continent of Africa is in this form. No value addition. It's seeds. It gets exported out to large seed oil manufacturers in Europe and Asia, and then global distribution happens. And so for me, the first thing was seeing that there needed to be more space for shea butter sourced directly from women's cooperatives in Africa.
We'll come to that later. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA AGOA 2015 or hashtag AGOA 2015. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Let's take a quick look at the AGOA Extension and Enhancement Act of 2015. On June 25th, the U.S. Congress voted overwhelmingly to reauthorize AGOA, sending the legislation to the White House for President Obama's signature and guaranteeing the long-term extension of America's flagship program that provides duty-free treatment from nearly all goods from eligible sub-Saharan African countries. It provides a long-term extension of AGOA for 10 years, including a 10-year extension of third country fabric provisions, which are important to continue to nurture the development of the textile and apparel industry in sub-Saharan Africa. It reaffirms Congress's commitment to Africa through clear statements of policy on the importance of AGOA and expanding trade and investment ties between the United States and sub-Saharan Africa. It promotes greater regional integration by expanding the rule of origin to allow AGOA countries greater flexibility to combine inputs to meet the rule of origin for AGOA, including the WTO Trade Facilitation Agreement, which can reduce red tape at the border. It promotes compliance with eligibility criteria by providing greater flexibility to the administration to withdraw, suspend, or limit benefits under AGOA if it determines that such action would be more effective than termination. It ensures greater certainty in operation of AGOA by requiring the administration to notify Congress and any affected country at least 60 days before removing a country from the program or withdrawing, suspending, and limiting any benefits.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizui Uwat, and of course, you're welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me continue a little bit longer with you, Rahama. You were born and grew up in upstate New York, correct?
I was born in Tamale in northern Ghana, in upstate New York outside of Syracuse.
I see. Yeah. So, in fact, I was going to ask you, what inspired you or triggered your interest, frankly, in shea butter, so as to empower women around the world?
Yeah, for me, first, I'm African. You know, I'm African-American, Ghanaian-American. And so for me, even though I grew up in the U.S., I had a very strong connection to Africa via my mother. And so when I graduated from college, I decided to join the Peace Corps. And it was there that I started learning about and seeing a lot of the challenges and issues facing women in my rural community. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I was an intern at the American Embassy in Burkina Faso, and that's when I started learning about shea butter. So as I, you know, I was right out of college, I was in my early 20s, and it really struck me that these women had access to this amazing product that had become globalized, yet they were struggling with poverty. Mm-hmm. And it didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt, well, if they have access to this great resource, why not help them figure out a way to get this resource to market in a way that's sustainable, mm-hmm. and in a way that can help them do things like send their kids to school, buy food, buy medicine, and generate living wages? So it definitely didn't take me, it didn't happen overnight, but over the last 10 years, I've been able to build a business model mm-hmm. that shows demonstrated impact on the lives of the women that we work with. We're able to show simply by taking a local resource, connecting, creating the right environment for women to create a high-quality product, mm-hmm. package it properly so that it fits the market, and bring it to the market. We distribute our products through Whole Foods Market. We're able to see women increase their income by over 200%. We're able to see women being able to generate more than their country's minimum wage so that they can send their kids to school, buy food, buy medicine, invest in other income-generating activities, as well as save and invest in land ownership.
What is shea butter? Is it a fruit? Is it, what is it? Is it a root? What is it?
It's a seed. Mm-hmm. And this seed is contained in the fruit of the shea tree. Mm-hmm. And it only grows in sub-Saharan Africa. Mm-hmm. You cannot find this anywhere else in the world.
And it seems to me, particularly in West Africa.
Yes, mostly in West Africa. In East Africa, you can find shea butter in northern Uganda and southern Sudan.
Northern Uganda and southern Sudan. That's really interesting.
Yes. But it's a different type of shea. And so historically, it's been women's work. It's what women do. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is locally in their communities, shea butter is a cooking oil.
Okay.
And so it's part of women's tradition.
Cooking
of
oil?
Yeah, as a cooking oil.
It is food?
Yeah.
It can be medicine?
Yes.
It can be soap?
Yeah.
What else can it be?
It honestly, skin, if you have skin.
Skin care?
Yeah, if you have skin, anything that you can put on your skin, shea butter can be made into
hair.
Hair care products. It's a really tremendously nourishing moisturizer. People use it for things like eczema, dry skin. It has anti-inflammatory properties to it. So, you know, if you have swollen joints, shea butter is really good when you rub it. It alleviates some of that pain and inflammation. It's a great massage balm. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those products that you can use for almost anything. And the key thing in terms of Shea Alien's business model, because it's so closely tied to women, when you're able to give women the right tools and resources to be able to generate their income, they transform their communities. And this is something that has been studied. Empower women, communities are transformed. And one of the things is that when you look at women in Africa, they provide more than 50% of the labor on farms. They generate almost 80% of food in Africa, yet they own less than 1% of total African assets. And so there is a tremendous opportunity, and part of why I get so excited about AGOA is that there's a tremendous opportunity to empower women via trade and investment. And AGOA reduces a trade barrier. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to create, again, those right ecosystems, you're able to make transformative change in a lot of these communities.
Yeah. And we've seen that.
Yeah.
And, Rahama has worked with the civil society.
I have.
In fact, in preparing for the 2011 AGOA Forum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And working together, civil society and private sector, mm-hmm. would help achieve that level of transformation.
Absolutely.
As you mentioned earlier on, what we want to do is diversify products on AGOA. And we know that currently there is a lot of energy products and gas and oil and all of those that are the major elements in terms of AGOA Expo. That's changing. You know, last year in 2014, about $4.4 billion of exports from Africa under AGOA and GSP to the United States were not the traditional oil and gas products. They were products like the one that we're talking about right now. And the objective is to nourish all of these small, medium enterprises, to provide them the wherewithal. And some of these enterprises are owned by women, which I think Rahana said it very right. If you empower a woman, you empower a family. So our challenge, given the 10-year long-term extension, is now to see how civil society, and I like the way it was framed in terms of the whole complexity of AGOA. Mm-hmm. It's like a three-legged stool, where you have the government, you have the private sector, and you have civil society. To be able to balance on the three-legged stool, all the legs have to be the same length. If it's not, it's not going to work.
You know, Fred, you live in this town, and I have met a lot of people. We're talking about senior government officials, civil society types of people, NGOs, and stuff like that, and say, you know what? Africa has such a great opportunity to take advantage of AGOA. But so far, frankly, it has not been able to seriously take advantage of those opportunities. Earlier you said there are very important things that need to be addressed in order to accomplish that. What, in your view, exactly needs to be addressed?
Let me go through our 7 recommendations, and I think that would help. One is, with the new AGOA reauthorization, we want civil society to work with their governments to have AGOA strategy plan. Mm-hmm. And those strategy plans are required biannually, so it's every 2 years. We want to see each of the AGOA eligible countries work with their civil society and their private sector to put in place an AGOA strategy plan. And that strategy plan should also provide for how do we move from an AGOA framework to a bilateral framework? How do we move from a unilateral framework to a bilateral arrangement? That's a very key, important phase. And we read this to the ministers, and we hope it resonated very well. In terms of technical assistance, which is the second area, we want to see the AGOA-eligible countries work with their various agencies to provide technical assistance, to also see the United States through some of the various programs that we have now, Trade Africa, Power Africa, to see how we could work on the ground in Africa to provide those necessary technical assistance that would allow optimization of the benefits of AGOA. There's also the trade facilitation, and this is very key because, as you know, the WTO trade facilitation agreement has been in place. There are a lot of African countries that already have been able to make a strong statement that they wanted some way for that arrangement to be put in a way that it fits into their development agenda. WTO has agreed to it. We only have, I believe now, Botswana has ratified the WTO Trade Facilitation Agreement. Mauritius has. And just recently, Niger is the first LDC country to also have ratified that particular agreement.
What do you mean by LDC? Less developed country?
Less developed country. Mm-hmm. And so with that,
implying, of course, that both Mauritius and Botswana are not.
They're not, but
they're
also
middle-income.
They're middle-income. And, you know, when we're talking about WTO, it's not just Africa. It's global.
Yes.
So we're also saying countries like Bangladesh and some of the other countries may not have ratified. But we were so happy to see Niger come to the table and to be the first LDC country to sign it. And as they're signing this arrangement, they also need to work with their own civil society to take full advantages, because the only way we can see the transformation we're talking about, including some of what you're working on here with women, empowering women and helping get their products into the marketplace, is that if we have regional integration, we need to be able to move products from Ghana into Burkina Faso, to be able to get it from Ivory Coast, so that as we process this, we're not limiting it just within Ghana. Mm-hmm. We can have vertical integration, we can have horizontal integration, and that would empower more women, and it would also help us in terms of developing regional economies.
I see.
And on textile and apparel, we haven't talked about
that. We'll come to that, because in fact I think that is somewhat a success, isn't
it? It's one of the major successes of our
goal. We'll come to that, and we'll find out why it is not succeeding beyond the few countries that where it has succeeded. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Diaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan in Kampala who responded to our question of the week.
Patricia Namdi in Kampala, Uganda writes, "For AGOA to help African businesses reach their full trade potential, the following should be done. AGOA should equip Africans with more skills to increase production. This can be done through capacity building. There is need to help Africans with infrastructure development to facilitate trade and investment. African countries lack good roads, railway systems, and harbors, which are crucial in the transportation of goods. AGOA must also encourage countries to utilize regional economic integration to market their products. Lastly, Africa's businessmen must be encouraged to form trade partnerships."
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. Live from Washington, once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The AGOA reauthorization extends the program until September 2025 and includes a continuation of the third country program for the same period. Together, these provisions stand as the longest ever extension of the bill. This leads us to our question of the week, asking, what more can be done so the program can help African businesses reach their full trade potential? Well, thanks everyone for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. Let's begin with a comment from Dr. Lugano Wilson from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, who writes, "We thank the U.S. Congress for extending AGOA, but in order to help African businesses reach their full trade potential, the program must focus on the materials and products made by Africa's poor. Ordinary citizens need to have unbridled access to AGOA's benefits. AGOA and USAID should be directly run and monitored by AGOA. If not, the program will be beneficial only to Africa's voracious leaders." Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOAAGOA2015 or hashtag AGOA2015. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. Well, let's go to a tweet from Ngambirano Bruno of Makerere University in Kampala, Uganda, who tweets that Africa does not need help, but cooperation. Well, we have other couple of tweets from Roy Barigayomwe, I think I got his name right, from the greater Boston area in the U.S. state of Massachusetts, saying that African governments should strategically and deliberately promote the program from the grassroots. Roy goes on to tweet that we need to boost our production capacity so as to take maximum advantage of this program. And finally, he says that cooperatives, which have unfortunately been marginalized in such countries like Uganda, would enhance the optimization of AGOA. Well, Shaka and guests, very interesting set of comments. Your take on these ones?
Very interesting indeed. What about you, Rahama? What is your take on this?
I think all these comments are spot on. Mm-hmm. I would encourage every single person who's tweeted, who's watching the show, to get involved. You know, we have Fred here who's representing the civil society. Every person in their country can reach out to civil society, can get involved, can get, you know, can participate in this process. And I think that these issues of, you know, Africans not needing help, they need cooperation. Of course, but what does that mean exactly? And I think for me, coming from the diaspora and representing issues from the lens of someone who has family in Ghana and who has family in Africa, I think one of the things that's so important for me to share with this audience is that we need more people to get involved in these issues. We need more people to, you know, reach out to their governments, reach out to civil society. If you see that there's an issue or challenge in your community, see how you can be engaged to try to address those issues. We can't always wait for other people to tell us what to do. And I think that that's one of the things that is why I created Shayaleen, is I saw an issue and I said to myself, something has to be done, and I started working on it. And I also think that it's important for youth to be involved, because the youth, the population of African youth is one of the largest in the world. And so there's a critical role for youth to take on and to become more involved in these issues earlier on. And I think that, you know, being able to connect to the Young African Leaders Fellowship Initiative that has networked so many different youths from across the continent, that's one place to start. There's another program, the African Women's Entrepreneurship Program, which is a State Department program that also networks women and entrepreneurs. All of these are resources, and I think when we're talking about this issue of cooperation, those are pockets of places that people can get access to some of the resources that they need.
Very interesting. Mariama, please, any more feedback from our audience?
Indeed, Shaka, we'll move on to a posting from Joel Cassanda in Ifakara in Tanzania, who writes, I think this kindness of the U.S. toward Africa should help small businesses, or small businessmen rather, by sponsoring a business education to students who want to be successful. AGOA should invest in Africa's manufacturing industries. There are enough God-given natural resources on the continent to help Africa find a friendly world market. Well, another Facebook comment comes from Buembia Mfuika of Lusaka in Zambia, who writes that AGOA must seriously consider establishing strong information centers across Africa, as this will greatly help in changing how developmental issues are perceived. These centers can help many of our citizens who've been failed by the education systems. Well, Shaka, getting the word out, definitely. I visited one such center in Senegal recently. I believe, like the viewer wrote, that it's very important that this time around, since many people still are not aware of what the program really is in Africa.
Thank you, Fred. It's all yours.
Yeah, Shaka, AGOA 101 is very important. Mm-hmm. AGOA is not a noun. AGOA is an acronym. AGOA is a trade policy. Right. And we should understand that this policy is to assist African governments, the eligible governments, to get the products of their private sector into the United States, zero tariff, and no quota.
It is not a grant, like, for example, the Millennium Challenge account.
There is no agency called AGOA, so there is no person called AGOA. And I think that is very important for us to understand. It is a trade preferential agreement that is being provided for countries that are eligible under AGOA, where their product comes into the United States. Just as Rahana is getting these products from Ghana and from Burkina Faso. When those products come into the United States, mm-hmm. they are not paying any tariff on it.
Exactly.
But then they can come into the United States market, which allows the manufacturer in Burkina Faso and in Ghana to be competitive in U.S. markets.
Exactly.
But it takes the government of Ghana and the government of Burkina Faso to work with the producers of this nut and to work with Rahana's company to get the product into the United States.
When you talk about her company, by the way, does your company have some factories for producing some of these byproducts?
Can you say that again?
Your company, does it have factories, for example, or does it work with specific factories or industries on the ground that produce some of these byproducts?
So we work with the cooperatives in northern Ghana, and what they do is they take the shea seeds, turn it into shea butter, and they also make soap. And so part of the byproduct is soap that we bring to the U.S. market. They make a black soap, and what Shayaline has done is we've helped them gain access to the production tools, the training. We had to train them on how to do it, and also the manufacturing facility to be able to create value-added products. And to Fred's point, which is an excellent point, is AGOA is a policy. Policies only come to life when people use them. And I think that that's so important.
That's when they get legs.
Exactly.
So they can walk.
And that is the key point. And that's why civil society is very important to this. Mm-hmm. Not only on the United States side. Now, on the U.S. side, we work with Congress to get AGOA extended, to get AGOA reauthorized. In Uganda, we need our civil society to work with their parliament so that they can provide the necessary technical assistance, the necessary support for Uganda's small medium enterprise.
We'll
in
talk,
Nigeria,
course,
we need the same.
We'll talk about the viability of civil society in Africa.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. Also, follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Well, now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, the European migrant crisis deepens each day. More than 350,000 migrants have fled turmoil and poverty in Africa and the Middle East in search of a better life in Europe. EU leaders are at odds about how to tackle the situation. We'll have a discussion on the crisis next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. We have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. And I gather that we do have Patrick from Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guest.
Eugene Terrific. How are you?
Fine. So, Patrick Okora for in Arachukwu, Nigeria. I want to find out from our sister and Rahana in the studio there. You see, African Growth and Opportunity Act, today, Kenya with their coffee, they are benefiting. Uganda with their sugar, they are benefiting. Today, too, in Nigeria, we have excess palm oil for cooking and for manufacturing soap. The same thing applicable to palm kernel, which we use in manufacturing drugs. Now, my sister, what do we do under this condition? I've seen what you are showing us on the screen there, where you have shea butter. What do we do with this, our palm kernel? Even we have excess vegetable, which we use in manufacturing drugs. Things need to like multiply this. So what do we do?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Any silver bullet here?
Yeah. I think for any product, this is not just palm oil, shea butter. The first thing is really to make sure that you're creating a high-quality product and you understand the market and you understand what market you're trying to get your product into. Palm kernel oil can be used for so many different things. You can use it for skincare. You can use it in food. It's an additive ingredient. And so I would advise that if you're seeing an abundance of resources and you're trying to figure out how can we commercialize this, how can we get this to market, the first thing is the quality, is really understanding the quality requirements, understanding how to produce the product in a safe, sustainable environment. Because, you know, palm oil that's coming from Southeast Asia, there are issues around sustainability. So really making sure that whatever product it is, that it's sustainable, that it's being sourced and produced in a way that's ensuring that people are generating living wages. And then, of course, understanding the market. So when you try to bring that product to market, you can be successful in that marketplace.
I see. Well, a reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussions, please call us at 202-619-3111. Yes, country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
Once again, let's take a quick look at the AGOA Extension and Enhancement Act of 2015. In June, the U.S. Congress voted to reauthorize AGOA to guarantee the long-term extension of America's cornerstone program that provides duty-free treatment for virtually all goods from eligible sub-Saharan African countries. It improves the transparency and participation in the AGOA review process by codifying the process and ensuring that the administration establishes mechanism for public input. It also creates new review mechanism so that any party at any time can petition the U.S. Trade Representative about whether a country is meeting the AGOA eligibility criteria. It outlines a path for deepening and expanding trade and investment ties by requiring the administration to develop a long-term strategy by negotiating trade agreements with sub-Saharan African countries. It strengthens congressional oversight through additional notification and reporting requirements. Finally, it addresses unfair practices by the European Union that has conditions on Africa's access to the European markets.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. You know, Fred, you talk, of course, about the role, in fact, the central role that civil society ought to be playing in Africa. And you perhaps assuming that most of these 39 eligible countries provide space for civil society, that in fact civil society in Africa is independent of the state and therefore they can actually work together?
I think given my experience working with civil society in AGOA eligible countries, yes, there is space. We need to expand that space.
There is space?
There is space.
Talk to me about the Republic of Rwanda, for example.
In Rwanda, we in the last AGOA forum that just ended, I think we had quite a few civil society members that came in and sat down among the 100 and I think we had about 160 civil society members that were in Libreville for the civil society session. In Cameroon, we, in fact, one of the most prominent participants came from Cameroon.
Uganda?
Uganda, we had participants from Uganda.
Those people can participate, but do they in fact have space back in the countries where they come from in order to effect what you're looking for, really? Because you have a situation in some countries, frankly, where you have the appearance of independent civil society, but in fact are controlled by the state.
Shaka, and that's correct, but what we need to do is embolden this civil society, support them, and provide them an important role to play in economic development. And when we do that, they will be more responsive to their constituent in Uganda, in Rwanda. And not only that, they would also have the attention within the international community that gives them the voice to represent what is good for Uganda. It's all work in progress.
You know, one of the requirements for a country to be eligible for AGOA, in fact, is respect for rule of law,
that's correct,
and human rights,
that's correct. It's if you're not, you would not be on the eligibility list.
But how come I see countries which in fact on the contrary violate that? They are on the list of eligibility.
There's a threshold, Ashaka, and the agencies who are responsible for making sure that this list is updated. I mean, if you take a look at the human rights, the Department of State has a human rights report that is published every year.
But you'll be surprised
updated.
When you read that very report.
Yes.
You will find that, in fact, it is critical of countries which are members of this AGOA club.
Even though they could be critical of them, but those countries have met a certain threshold. If they didn't meet those thresholds, they would not be on the AGOA eligible list.
Aren't we talking politics here, really?
We're talking politics as it comes to standard. Now, we all in the democracy arena, which you and I share very, very much, the same values, we are expecting more from as many of these countries as possible. But then we also have a measurement. We have a threshold. The AGOA eligible list is a threshold that countries must meet. And when they do not meet those thresholds, they are removed after they've been reviewed. So it's not a sudden process. It is a way of looking at it and making sure that there's predictability so that AGOA itself would work.
How about
and
someone who will tell you that we are talking about double, triple, quadruple standards here?
Let me explain one of the things that civil society recommended from Libreville, that each country should have a AGOA strategy plan. That strategy plan should include civil society being part of putting that plan in place. And that strategy plan should also provide for the way forward in terms of future relationship in trade with the United States. And if we can get some of these recommendations adopted, we will be moving in the direction that you've just mentioned. And that is to ensure that we expand the space for civil society while we're also promoting trade that would allow us to address poverty, also allow us to expand human rights and be able to expand freedom in those countries that we're doing business with.
It's really like someone saying that so long as you can hold an election periodically, so to speak, no matter whether it is not fair, not credible, not transparent, it is a democracy, at least a nascent democracy. And yet you have a situation, frankly, where people do not have the slightest right of having an election result that reflects
that is why
their will.
Shaka, that's
and
why
these countries are on this AGOA list. And I don't really want to go into them, maybe next time.
I think we should go into them, but this is the point that I think we should all be satisfied with, that everywhere in the world, including here in the United States, we need to strengthen our civil society. And at the same time, we also have to get civil society to engage and to be engaged not only with their government, with their private sector.
I think you and I would agree that your country, for example, got independence October 1960. Yes. But it probably, in fact, accomplished the first free, fair, and credible election in March 2015?
You know, some people, particularly people my age, will disagree with that. And I'm going to explain why. Because don't forget that before the military intervention in Nigeria, we had had elections that resulted in us having a parliament. And that parliament was a lot of work in progress.
We'll talk about that next time. The only other election I can think about is June 12, 1993.
Post-military intervention.
That is for another day. Okay. In any case, let's go to the lifeline of the callers. You have Aloysius from Liberia. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaq and Stevens, for the time afforded. I want to applaud your guests in studio. And I want to recommend the problem faced with Africa, especially the issue of bad roads, the farm to market roads where the farmers cannot get the product to the city centers to be able to sell them. So these are issues that I think our goal should address in helping African farmers to help bring their goods to the city centers to be able to sell them. Because we have very deplorable rural conditions in Africa.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very briefly, time not being a best ally, can you tell us about your role, along with 14 other private sector leaders, on the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa? Rahama.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a minute.
Okay. So the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa was set up after the U.S.-Africa summit last year. And honestly, it's a very strategic role, private sector informing the government on how the government can do a better job in terms of business engagement mm-hmm. with African countries. There are 14 other people on the council, GE, Sway Energy, Africa.com, Walmart, the Kellogg Group. I represent the small, you know, business perspective. I represent the diaspora perspective. And honestly, I encourage all of your listeners, everyone who's watching this show, when I say get involved, this is an opportunity to get involved. Reach out to me. One of the things that I'm working on, I'm chairing the Marketing and Outreach Subcommittee. We're putting forth recommendations on how the government can do a great job in like youth entrepreneurship and women's entrepreneurship as well.
Thank you. Well, before we go, we would be remiss if I didn't mention the death of Nigerian ambassador to the United States of America, Professor Adebowale Adefuye, who passed away on Thursday here in Washington, D.C., a former history professor. Adefuye has been Nigeria's ambassador to the United States since March 2010. A Fulbright scholar, he studied at Makerere University, Uganda, where he was the roommate in New Hall of Ugandan Prime Minister Rakana Rugunda. Columbia University, the University of North Florida, and the University of Florida in Gainesville. One of his last major assignments was to receive President Muhammadu Buhari and his delegation during the president's 3-day official visit to the United States in July. During his 5-year tenure as Nigeria's top diplomat to the U.S., Professor Adefuye was a guest on Straight Talk Africa several times. His last appearance on this program was February 11th of this year. Our heartfelt condolences go to his family and friends. May his soul rest in eternal peace. And of course, on that note, this was Straight Talk Africa. Get better, not bitter. And please, thank you so much. And of course, Rahama, thank you. It was a pleasure to have you in the studio. The CEO of Ashia Yelin, Health and Beauty, and member of the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa for the International Trade Administration. Thanks to you, of course, Fred Odarodende, and thanks to affiliate stations. Along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Duplati. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.